So we are back on the Token Music Podcast. We're here with a very good friend of mine. So Pierre, welcome to Toka.
Thanks. Thank you. It's my first podcast.
Actually. Really?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Yeah. Bit nervous, but
you should be nervous.
You'll be nice, right?
Yeah, bro. We have good these questions. Talks every day.
Yeah.
All right. So first of all, I'd like to start with thanking our sponsors. So give your musical career a boost with distribution that ensures your music is heard where it matters most. Media Labs Distribution is a Web3 platform for 100% royalty-free music distribution to over 220 music platforms, including Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, and many more, with support for royalty withdrawals internationally, both in fiat currencies and crypto. The platform offers you tons of benefits like maintaining 100% ownership of your distributed songs, priority placements on music streaming services, powerful analytics that help you grow your fan base, and Content ID that allows you to claim advertising royalties when your music is used by other creators on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. So visit medialabs.io/tokamusic to learn more and receive a 7-day free trial to the most innovative music self-distribution platform. So Pierre, welcome to Toka.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
No worries, man.
Yeah.
We're so happy to be here with you. I mean, Neddy didn't join us because we decided that whenever we have a Zoom podcast, he'll be there. But whenever we're in studio, so we'd rather be all in the studio whenever there's someone in the studio.
Perfect.
So Neddy, we miss you. We hope you were here. But yeah, next time, for sure.
Next time.
So as we always do on Toka, please introduce yourself.
Okay, so I'm Pierre Locher. Some people say Locher, Locher. It doesn't matter. I'm 24, half Swiss, half British. Lived in Geneva. Then I moved to the UK for studies. And yeah, that's
Get
me.
A bit closer, yeah.
A bit closer, like
yeah,
this?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Nice. I like that introduction. It was very, very nice.
It's very brief, and then we'll get more into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know that you're, like you said, you're a DJ, you're a music producer, you're Swiss British, so you have many different.
Yeah, so my dad's Swiss, my mom's British.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. So, okay, so tell us about your story, the Pierre Locher story, how you first got into music. What were your earliest inspirations and so on? Please go ahead.
Of course. So I always been in music. I actually learned to play the piano at a very young age. I did seven years of piano. Then I did 2 years of drums. So yeah, since a young age, I was always into music. And I was actually listening to all sorts of music, classical, jazz, rock, punk rock. But it's true that I always like electronic music the most. And then music production kind of followed as like, I kept wanting to do more and to do my own like beats and production. And I just learned as I was going. So yeah.
So yeah, you mentioned something that I really like, which is that you started with piano.
Yeah.
Which is best foundation you can have for a music producer today.
Yeah, a lot of people start with piano.
Yeah.
It is, like you said, it's a good foundation.
Yeah, it gives you, like, the basics of music theory. You know how to, like,
write music.
So, nice. I know that you also, since you mentioned that you're Swiss-British, you've played in the UK.
Yeah, I played in the UK.
You
played recently in Italy.
Nice. Yeah. Have you ever played in Switzerland?
I did, but not big events.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would want to play. We were talking about Caprice the other day.
Yeah.
That's definitely some place that I would want to play.
Nice. Yeah, I love Caprice. It looks like an awesome festival.
Good crowd as well.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. So what city would you like to play in? Like other than the like London, you played in Oxford?
I played in Oxford because I studied in the city of Oxford. So I do say the city of Oxford, not Oxford University.
Yeah.
Oxford Brookes, yes. So yeah, I did a lot of house parties. You know, when you're at uni, you play for
Yeah.
All these house parties.
It was the come up of Pierre.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And it's quite fun. I think it's something that I would always enjoy doing.
Nice.
Even down the line, house parties. Yeah. I don't know what you think about them, but...
No, yeah. I love intimate house parties.
Yeah.
The private ones, the more you have a much closer connection to the crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
Although it would be awesome to play festivals and clubs.
Yeah.
What do you prefer, clubs or festivals?
I still have to play at a festival, so it's definitely something I'm looking into. Especially recently, as you know, I've been focusing a lot on my music production, and I'm slowly getting back into playing live and like gigs and all that. So yeah, festivals. I mean, you know,
yeah,
that would be sick. Yeah. I think playing in front of 50,000 people, that's just
insane.
I guess it must feel like the best feeling in the world.
I played a couple of festivals previously, and it is a very nice feeling, but I don't know. I feel like I kind of like clubs more. Yeah. Yeah, I like smaller rooms, not a bigger crowd.
Yeah,
but I mean, I do get you. I think a festival would be very nice.
Just to know what it feels like as well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. So... we have 14 facts on Token. We have a couple of questions that we always plug into the podcast. And we always like to ask, what is one person you dream to have a coffee with?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
So if I'm honest, I would love to have... I always enjoy coffee with my grandma. I think that's a...
No, but let's say someone that you haven't had coffee with in your life.
Okay.
Whether dead or alive.
Yeah. Okay, so... Daft Punk, definitely. I know that it's two of them, but
Daft Punk, yeah, right
Daft
there.
Punk. I think they've completely, they really pushed electronic music. They kind of put it on the map.
Yeah.
And there was actually a story. I think it was David Guetta. He mentioned one story about Daft Punk.
Yeah.
He said that he was always quite impressed how they made music and how they produced, and he was always curious to see their studios.
Yeah.
And I remember he said in a video, he said he actually went to their studio and he saw one compressor, one, like two synthesizers.
Simplicity.
Tiny studio, right? And he was like, people always make excuses about, oh, I need 15 like of this, 20 of that.
But less actually, is more.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, and... they always said they always played around with the amps, with everything, and I think they had fun, and I think that's the key, to just kind of play around with what you have and don't have excuses.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I would have coffee with them.
They're my heroes, man.
Yeah.
They're
amazing.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Imagine we'll have coffee with one of them.
Yeah, that would be and their stories.
Yeah, I'll be so nervous.
What was it? It was Coachella when they did that.
Coachella 2006.
Yeah.
Insane, man. They put all the money that they made off this festival on the production of the...
Yeah, the pyramid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
But, you know, going back to why I said my grandma is because she lives in Vienna.
Yeah.
And Vienna being the city of music to me, you know, with classical music and Mozart and all that. And she's always been the best listener in terms of... Every time I spoke to her about, oh, I want to do this with my music, even at a young age, she was always here listening to me and being like, yeah, you're going to do it. You'll be me. So, yeah. She's 95. She's 95. Yeah.
God bless. I remember when you told me, hey, man, can we take like a, I need to take a call with my grandma. And you were talking to her and was on speaker. I was hearing the whole conversation. She seems like a very nice lady.
Yeah, she is.
And she the first thing she asked you about, like, how's the music? How's it going?
Yeah.
What have you done? Where
exactly.
have you played? What have
exactly.
you... It's so nice.
No,
so
she's
like
she's
your
amazing.
Number one supporter.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing. So,
also,
yeah, definitely these two.
Also, shout out to your mom and dad, man. They're your
thanks.
Biggest supporters.
Yeah. No, they are. I think it's important to have... family that are like supportive.
Of course. Of course. Your number one supporter is your number one and
it's
the one that will last forever, bro.
No, I'm very lucky. Very lucky, definitely.
So I know you've had a come up not long ago. You've started releasing music. Mm. You've done very well in terms of releasing independently. I think last year you reached 600,000 streams on Spotify.
Yeah, in a year. Yeah.
Nice.
In a year.
Can you tell us more about, like, how did you start producing? What made you create Possession, which is your most streamed track?
Yeah, that's a funny story.
Yeah, we want to know about that. And just tell me about that whole
creative process.
So it
all started at university. I kept releasing my music on SoundCloud, and then one day I was like, you know what, why not? I'll just put it on Spotify and other channels.
I
didn't really expect anything from it. I wasn't doing it hoping to get streams. I just did it because I was curious to see, okay, well, I'm going to try it out. And so that's what I did. I released a few tracks. They didn't do very well. And then one night I was having a heavy night with a couple of friends at university. Yeah. Can't remember, it was like 4 a.m. And we were all not in a good state.
Hammered.
We were not great. And my good friend Hugo, if you're watching this, you know the night. And
does he actually remember that night?
I don't
was
know.
Was he awake?
I actually don't know. It was like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and we were all getting a bit tired. And he said, "Pierre, you know, show me your drafts." And so I open my laptop and I make him listen to Possession. And he says, "Bro, it's amazing. Release it now." And I go, "Okay, I'll release it now." And I filled up the form online and I just released it. I picked the most random, like, album cover. I put a stupid filter on it.
Wow.
And I pressed send, done. And then we continued with the night, drinking and all that. The next day I wake up completely hungover. I'm like, what have I done? I'm like, because it wasn't even mastered, it wasn't even mixed.
Yeah.
I just boosted it up with a adaptive limiter just to have it really loud.
Oh my god.
Yeah. To have the decibels.
I didn't know that.
Like, yeah, I just
that's why you released the remaster, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Recently. But I just had an adaptive limiter boosted up and I woke up the next day thinking, what have I done? This track is not mixed, not mastered. So I was like, you know what? Too bad. I'll just carry on with my life. I don't have any followers.
Yeah.
And I don't have a big following. Nobody cares. I'm not getting any streams. Who cares, right? And a week later, it's just like everyone's talking about it, sending me messages. I'm getting people on Instagram that I have no clue who they are, and they just tag me on a video of them playing it in a club. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe that worked. And so I called my friend
from
Hugo.
from being drunk with your friends.
Yeah, exactly.
To releasing a song
completely drunk on a night where you're just being stupid, and you just go, yeah, I'm just gonna do it.
Wow, man, that's a very nice story.
Yeah,
you recently released the remaster, so if people want to listen to the better quality,
it's on
they
Beatport
can do that
as
well.
Yeah,
so they can buy
it.
It
wasn't even on Beatport.
Why? You had the option to release it there, but you didn't.
I can't. To be honest with you, I can't remember when I was filling the form.
Hugo, do you know?
Yeah, Hugo, let me know what happened. But when I was filling the form, I don't even remember what I clicked. I just.
Wow, cool, man. Nice. So you told us about the story of Possession that actually, kind of broke your career. Like it did. And I'm pretty sure you had some low points, some high points.
Yeah.
So can you tell us how do you cope and how do you balance? Because you used to live in the UK, you used to do music when you were in university, and then you moved to Dubai.
Mm.
And you're playing, you're based here now, but you actually travel and play abroad. So I'm pretty sure you've been through lows and highs, and I would love to know how you cope with all of these.
Yeah, definitely. So I would say the first low that kind of pops in my head was, once again, it was at university. There will be a lot of stories from university.
Fine, because
I guess that was the time where I actually started really putting time and effort into my music. Because also, I was being creative and going out a lot. You listen to a lot of music. So I was at university and I was working two jobs. I was working at night. I was a bartender at Bridge Club in Oxford. And then during the day, I was a ice cream parlor making milkshakes. And so I worked two jobs while I was studying.
I loved it.
Yeah. And I did that for a whole year because I was actually saving up to buy myself two XDJs 700.
I know what happened to those.
Yeah, exactly. So two XDJ 700s and a Xzone Allen & Heath Xzone 23.
Yeah.
So
the CDJ 700. CDJs? It's the CDJs.
Yep. No, but they don't have CD. XDJ 700. I think they're called XDJs.
I think so.
Yeah.
XDJ 700. Yeah, but if they don't have CDs, probably.
Yeah. And then the Allen & Heath Xzone. And it's expensive, you know. So I worked for a year, two jobs doing that. And then I was doing a house party. And then it was going well. I was happy. It was my first gig with the new equipment.
Really?
Yeah. And
wow,
you know what happened.
Yeah. I want to know the story.
So this girl has a whole bottle of vodka and she just like spills it all over on the drop. The drop must have been good, right?
Yeah.
Because she just spills it all over the decks, the mixer. And obviously, I don't stop the music. I carry on. And suddenly, it just like... Dies. Everything dies. The mixer, the two Pioneers, they just die.
Do you still have them? Like, do you still have the
like,
hardware?
They're like completely...
I know they don't work, but do you still have them?
I think they're in a box somewhere.
You need to get them, frame them.
Yeah, yeah.
I still have my first DJ set that my dad got me when I was 14. It's an American Audio.
Yeah.
Super old, only CDs.
Yeah, my
It's a one controller, just CDs. I still have it. And I have stickers on the turntables like, I'm not weird, I'm gifted. I'm planning to keep it and frame it in my house.
I need to find my first controller was a Hercules. You know those tiny ones?
Yeah.
They're like 20 centimeters.
You still have that?
Somewhere in Geneva.
Somewhere.
Yeah. I need to frame that as well.
I've seen a video of you where you were playing on these Hercules, right? With the laptop when you were young.
Yeah, when I was young.
The come up. Yeah.
Yeah. That was that was crazy. But that was a low time.
Yeah.
Where I felt low because I felt like I worked hard to earn this equipment and in matters of seconds, everything just... And what the issue was is that when I when they broke, it happens, but I couldn't do other gigs.
Yeah.
Right. And in parallel, I was in contact with Bridge Nightclub. Mm. I was in contact with for 6 months trying to get a residency there. And they told me, you know what? Yes, let's do it. We'll give you a residency. So then... With that low, I had this high where I was like, okay, I'll do this residency. And then a day before my first gig at Bridge, COVID. Whoa. And so I
reminds
had
me
in
of
the
a
space
story.
Yeah, in the space of like 2 weeks, I had the set, my DJ equipment broken,
destroyed.
And then like COVID hitting. And so I was like, oh, well, I'll just stick to music production for the next 2 years. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I remember as well during COVID where I also had a residency that was going to be announced in Madrid. at Supernova Club. I announced the dates. 3 to 4 days later, COVID hit.
Yeah.
8 dates, all gone.
Yeah. It was a really tough time for everyone.
Yeah. But this is the period where you did all your music.
Yeah.
Because of COVID.
Exactly. This and is the period where I was locked up in my room.
It's very impressive that in 2-3 years you were able to reach that level of music production, and you've actually reached these numbers. It's very impressive.
No, thanks a lot. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. I think you have a good year planned as well. I've already listened to a couple of tracks.
Yeah, so. You have. Unreleased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, to change it up a bit, if you had a superpower, what would it be and why?
Okay. This is a good question. This is going to sound really not original at all, but I think teleporting.
Everyone says that. Oh, because they hate traveling.
Yeah. No, but also imagine if you're warming up for someone, and then you're the headliner somewhere else around the world. You can do like 3, 4, 5 gigs in one night, different places around the world. That would be sick.
That would be nice. You know about Claptone?
Yeah.
You know that it's not one person.
Really?
You didn't know?
No, I had no idea.
It's like 2-3.
Really?
And they've played many gigs simultaneously.
Wow.
In different parts of the world. Yeah.
Wow. Do you know the DJ Mala?
Yeah. Mala? They're two, no?
I think. He's like friends with Chami and all these guys.
He wears a mask.
Yeah. The ski mask. I always wondered who he is, but
yeah. But Clapton, when I knew, because once he was playing in Beirut, the same time he was playing in Mexico. Wow. Imagine.
But that's quite clever.
Yeah, that's a very good business strategy.
Yeah, because people go see Clapton because of his name.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, so teleportation. That's one of probably the most recurring answer.
Yeah. I think the music industry is definitely the one that everyone wants.
Yeah.
Traveling is a big aspect of music.
It's so tiring. I love traveling, but long flights, I hate them.
Yeah. That's where health is important.
Yeah.
Your health.
Yeah. I know you're big on staying healthy and gymming and stuff. Yeah, we connect over that.
Yeah, we did.
He actually pushed me to actually train more, eat healthier. And yeah, thanks for that.
No, it's fine. It works better when you're actually with a friend.
Yeah.
If you're a group of people deciding to do something like wake up early, go to the gym, eat healthy. It's a lot easier when you're a group of people than when you're alone.
Yeah. Definitely. I totally get that. Yeah. So, also, to switch it up a little bit more, I know we both love movies. We connected over that.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, immediately. I know you love horror movies, but let's put horror movies aside. Yeah. I want to know, other than horror movies, if you had the chance to do a film score for any movie in the past or any movie that's coming out, what movie would you choose and why?
Yeah, so it's funny you mentioned horror movies because I love horror movies.
Yeah.
The classics as well. My favorite movie is The Shining from Stanley Kubrick. But then non-horror movies, I love David Fincher movies. Mm. I love The Social Network. I think that's you know the story of Facebook. Yeah. My God, I love that movie. So maybe if I could do a film score of a movie, it would be a movie similar to The Social Network or the movie Seven, also by David Fincher.
Mm.
So thriller movies. Yeah. Because I feel like I quite enjoy making quite dramatic and melancholic music.
Yeah.
But I feel like it fits with the vibe of thrillers, horror, like dramas as well.
You picked a thriller movie?
Yeah, Seven.
Okay.
Seven is I feel it's a thriller. It's like crime thriller.
Yeah. So what's your favorite series?
TV series.
Yeah.
I love Breaking Bad.
OG.
I love Breaking Bad. Yeah. Really like Breaking Bad. What about you?
But Breaking Bad, obviously, I love it. But we also love Better Call Saul. I know you
do. Yeah. From the universe of Breaking Bad.
I believe, I don't know, it's up there with Breaking Bad. Yeah. I know many people that watched Breaking Bad but didn't watch Better Call Saul. Do yourself a favor and watch Better Call Saul.
No, I watched it.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about a lot of people.
No, definitely.
Do yourself a favor. Yeah. If you're listening to this, do yourself a favor and watch
Better Call Saul.
Yeah. It's really good.
It's amazing. I think it's the reason why people don't really watch it. The first season is a lot slower. Yeah. I would say the first two seasons are very slow compared to Breaking Bad. I think that's why people... I think you just have to give it time.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like every series that I get so attached to, I push myself through it the first couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And then they become really good.
Yeah.
So Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul also.
You like The Sopranos, right? I still have to watch that.
I love The Sopranos.
Yeah.
You have to watch it. HBO just does wonders with series, man.
Yeah. No, they're really talented.
Everything HBO touches becomes instant hit.
And they had The
Wire.
Yeah, and recently that video game adaptation,
The Last of Us.
They did that, right?
Yeah. Every week, every Monday. Did you watch it? No,
amazing.
I didn't watch it.
Amazing.
Oh, man. So now back to the music a little bit. I know you've played in a very cool club in Rome. Rome, right?
Yeah.
I always used to mix it up with Milan. But yeah, in Rome. When was that?
It was the 28th. It was like 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. 28th. Yeah.
Yeah. Of March.
Yeah.
Yeah. And recently also played in Dubai. And I know that you really enjoyed both, but they're quite different.
Yeah.
Right?
No, they're very different.
Yeah. How was your experience in Rome and how was your experience here in Dubai?
Yeah. So first of all, Rome, beautiful city.
Yeah.
Like gorgeous.
Was it your first time there?
Yeah, it was. It was my first time in Rome. Loved it.
Yeah.
Really. Like I was lucky enough to have a couple of friends in Rome there. So that actually live in Rome.
Yeah.
So they showed me around. Showed me the nice local restaurants.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And the people are so friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the city of Rome. And I DJed in a club called Cielo Terra. I think it's called Cielo Terra. And I love... I mean, you saw the video I did. The club looks completely... I mean, it's all industrial.
Yeah.
From the outside, you wouldn't want to enter it.
Yeah.
It looks run down, right? But I think that's what I liked about it, is that it was all industrial, run down, and then people go there for the music, for the art of music, rather than the place looking good.
Yeah.
The sound system was amazing. I think that's quite important. But yeah, and then I think that's the big difference from when I DJed in Dubai. Dubai, I love Dubai. Dubai is my home, and Dubai's been very good to me as well. But you wouldn't find in Dubai a completely run down place like in Europe. You find that
you would find one in the desert, but
in the desert,
it's not.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to do a party.
Exactly.
There. Yeah,
it's not as common.
No,
I would say. But I don't know what would you feel.
Yeah, no, I agree.
DJing in like run down places.
I love that.
Yeah.
In Beirut, half the clubs, I mean, BO18 in Dubai here, but the original BO18 in Lebanon was a bunker. It's an incredible place.
Yeah.
Also, there's the Grand Factory, which is on top of it's a factory. So they're on top of a very old factory. Mm. Also, yeah, so every club has a story.
It feels like the walls have stories.
Yeah.
You know, when you enter a place and it just feels like...
It's a history.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you like Arabic music.
I love Arabic music.
Who's your favorite artist? Abdul Halim Hafiz.
Yeah, exactly. Rashid Taha.
We have to say that story. So I'll start.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So every time, we obviously spend a lot of time together. We hang out. The other day, we were going to a festival in Abu Dhabi. It was a long road, but on the way back, you were like kind of...
I was on the...
Yeah.
On the music.
Yeah, you're on the music. And you were putting like... We were kind of crashing.
Yeah,
like we were
I had to keep you up.
Yeah, so you were putting like all these chill music. Different sorts of music.
Very commercial.
Yeah.
Very commercial.
And then you put a song for Abdul Halim Hafiz. I'm like, wow. From where did that come from? You're like, it's in my playlist.
Swiss British guy.
It's in my playlist. I'm like... Dude, this guy like died decades ago. He's a legend in the Arabic music. If you play that song to my dad, he would love you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're big fans of Abdul Halim Hafiz, Umm Kulthum.
Yeah, the classics. No, yeah. I do love Arabic music. It's also because I was always coming to Dubai as a kid because my uncle lives here.
Yeah.
And... I always loved Dubai. And of course, I guess when you, especially Dubai, in the early years of Dubai, there was a lot more Arabic music.
Of course.
Around. Less commercial, less electronic.
There's a lot of Khaliji music, like their own traditional music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've went to many concerts, to Khaliji concerts. Bro, it's a vibe.
Yeah.
It's a vibe. Everyone's vibing.
Yeah, I think that's why I picked it up.
Yeah.
Just with years of coming to Dubai. And I always had Arabic music around.
Yeah.
And I always enjoyed it. There's just something in the instruments as well.
I wanted to ask you about the instruments.
One. Yeah.
I know you also like Arabic instruments. Yeah. I don't know if you know their names, but what's one instrument from the Arabic line you would like to learn?
Learn like from scratch.
Yeah.
The oud. Definitely. Oud. Yeah.
Nice.
But no, I'm really bad with names. I just like their sounds. They sound different and they sound so pure.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
I would love to see you add some anun as well in your songs.
Yeah, anun. Yeah. Is that the one where you...
Yeah, with the hands.
Yeah. You have it on your lap, right? And then
Yeah. It's a very tough instrument to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy. But yeah, I love that you're into that culture. I believe the Arabic music culture is so rich.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot to listen to from Fairuz, Abdul Halim Hafiz, Umm Kulthum. Yeah, legends, man.
And there's a lot of non-Arabic music producers.
Yeah.
That play, like if you listen to their music, you think, well, they must be Arabic.
Yeah.
One of my favorites are Acid Arab.
Acid Arab.
Yeah. They're French.
Yeah. And you know, Shkoun, I know Shkoun, part of the band is Syrian.
Yeah.
But then the other part is a German who also works in the band. And I don't know whether, I'm not sure whether he speaks Arabic or anything, but the music is rich. It's a very Arabic culture, rich.
Yeah, strong. Yeah.
Yeah, you were saying about Acid Arab.
Yeah, like they're a French band. And if you listen to their music, you would never think they're French.
I don't know. Maybe they have actually a background.
A background.
They must have.
They must have.
Because they have these...
All of their tracks is Arabic.
Yeah.
But I think that's amazing. I think that's also the beauty of music, is that you don't have to be from a certain country.
Exactly.
To love... That kind of music.
Exactly.
I love Arabic music. I have no background in, I'm Swiss and British, and here I am. Possession has some Arabic strum to it.
So and it did like, well.
Yeah, so it's... And no one went up to me and said, why are you doing Arabic? They're just happy, you know, with how it ended up.
Yeah, it did really well, man. Speaking of cultures and countries, if you had the chance to host a rave at any hidden gem in the UK or Switzerland, what place would you choose and why?
So, two come to mind, two places. First of all, I would need to go back to Oxford and do a massive rave there. because
you love this place, man.
Yeah, so much stories and my friends. It's kind of where I started, so it's always nice to go back to where you have memories, where you started, just as, you know, for fun. And then in a more serious note, I would love to DJ in Berlin. The club that comes to mind is Berghain. My music is less techno infused, so it would probably have to be Berghain, but the, what is it called, the Panorama Bar?
Yeah.
Yeah, the second place of Berghain. But yeah, Berlin, I've never been, but I really want to go there.
It's I like how you chose another country, but I was trying to, maybe you didn't understand the question. I was trying to ask you, in the UK or Switzerland, let's say Switzerland.
Yeah, yeah.
What's a hidden gem in Switzerland you would love to host a rave at? But Berlin, bro, you have to go.
Yeah. There's not one that comes to mind. I spent most of my growing up years in the UK rather than Switzerland. And when I was in Switzerland, I was very young, so I didn't really go out much. So I wouldn't be able to tell you, oh, this club, that club, this club. And also a few of the clubs in Geneva are quite heavy commercial clubs.
I've played in Switzerland, St. Gallen. It was one of my favorite gigs in Europe. It was very intimate, like a small little pub club.
That's nice.
It was very nice. It's next to Zurich. The Swiss German part. Yeah. But yeah, it was very nice. But yeah.
Yeah. I think also what's fun is sometimes to kind of create a rave in a random place. Like a old rundown factory.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably not the first one that says that, but it brings more excitement to an event.
Yeah.
I feel.
That's
I feel that's why Printworks started. It used to be hence the name Printworks, a printing factory.
Printing factory.
That's how they started.
Do you know any idea why they're closing down?
I have no idea. But I think they're going to open again. It's not going to be.
It's a massive club.
It's become a staple. Top club. Yeah. Staple. Yeah. But I would love to DJ there, yeah.
Yeah.
When they open again. Hopefully.
Hopefully, man. I think they're closing now, end of the year, no?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. What are three tracks that got you into electronic music?
So, first one is...
it could be an album.
Yeah, yeah. First one is... So, Vice, the DJ Vice.
Mm-hmm.
Very house-heavy music producer. His song, My Sister, I think it's his second album, came out years ago. And I remember that was one of the first house track that I bought on iTunes.
Wow.
Yeah, when I was a kid, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, then second, Cornflake Boy by Solomon, a lot more chill track. I just love the words as well. It's a very deep track, and if you read into it, it has a lot of meaning to it, so I quite like it. And then third, we were talking about this track, Relocate, Rodriguez Jr. Wow.
His remix.
Amazing. Yeah, his remix. Amazing track. Amazing track.
It's a top track, man.
Yeah. And recently I've been playing it a lot in gigs.
When was it out?
Good question. I actually have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but it's a top tune, man.
Yeah, it's very underrated.
Yeah.
Very underrated.
Yeah. I've actually...
These three.
Yeah. Yeah, you were saying, sorry.
Yeah, these three tracks.
Nice. No, yeah. I love it. You have the house, you have the bit of the melodic, and some type of a progressive track.
Yeah.
So it's a nice mix. And speaking of Rodriguez Jr., I actually closed for him.
Really?
In Beirut in 2018.
Wow.
Yeah, this is the day where I met Neddy, my partner. It was his birthday, and I was playing at that club. The story most of the people know, but yeah, it was a sick night. Rodriguez is
nice.
Nice guy, and he was a very nice DJ.
And you warmed up for him.
I closed.
Oh, you closed.
Yeah, closing set. Wow. He played an extra. I remember he played an extra 41 hour. I was so nervous. I was young.
Yeah.
I was so nervous, but then it was a top gig.
Do you think it's easier to warm up or close?
No, it's easier to close.
Yeah, for me, because everyone's already like,
yeah. Warm up pumped. Is an art. For me, I love to warm up because you set the right tone, and I love to actually warm up and close.
Mm.
So, you know, but it's rarely happening. But it's warming up. What are your thoughts? You've closed. You've warmed up.
Yeah, I've done both. Yeah. Personally, yeah, like you said, closing. Is I think you have less pressure when you close than when you warm up. When you warm up, people want you off the stage and they want the headliner.
The headliner, yeah.
So,
but then if you do really well, they want you to sing exactly, as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, and also by the closing, everyone's already on a good level.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you could play some Vivaldi and people will be. Jamming on Vivaldi. Yeah. So,
I mean, this takes me to your set at the after party on Friday.
Yeah.
That was a set where you ticked all the boxes of a DJ for me.
Thanks.
You've played the style that you love to play.
Thanks.
You've played the style that fit the after party mood, and you played the style that the people love also smoothly. You were jumping from ABBA.
Yeah.
To like Rodriguez Jr. Going back to, I don't know, YMCA.
Yeah.
But in such a smooth way, you kept like, because it's a private after party.
Yeah.
And people loved it.
You were supposed to play. Only.
Yeah. You were supposed to play till 3 a.m.
I played until 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember they turned on the lights and then they turned them back off. They're like, now let's go for another round.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice. It was a very nice party.
Yeah. And the crowd as well, I think. Has a big impact on you as a DJ.
Yeah.
It needs you need to bounce from each other, you know? And I said it before, it's a conversation. The DJ, the crowd, you need this connection with them. And the crowd was amazing. Really supportive, dancing, jamming, taking videos, pictures.
It was awesome, man.
Yeah.
I stayed till the very
people
last.
People standing on tables. Yeah. I was like, wow. Okay,
you cool. knew how bad of a day I had.
Yeah.
And I know you told me that I didn't expect you to stay till the end. But no. I did because the music was sick.
I even told you, I was like, mate, like it's going to be a late one. Yeah. You might as well just leave now because it's going to be late.
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
It was very nice, man. So tell us a fun fact about yourself that most of your listeners don't know.
Fun fact. Wow. I would say outside of music, I love cooking.
Nice.
Yeah, I love cooking.
I know we're going to dinner to your place tonight.
Yeah.
Are you going to cook?
I can cook if you want.
Nah. Let's have some popcorns and watch NBA.
Yeah.
But I'd love to eat. Yeah. I'd love to eat from your food, bro.
But I love, you know what? The thing with cooking, it's an art just like music. And I find it very therapeutic. The amount of nights I had where I'm just happy to be home alone, put a vinyl on and start cooking, you know, like, I don't know what it is about cooking, but it just puts you off, you know?
Yeah. Like what's your favorite dish?
This is going to sound so boring, right? Like I'm going to sound like, I've just said, oh, I love cooking. And now I'm telling you, oh, I love pasta dishes.
I know that because... The Italian restaurant we always go to, you always order the same one.
Yeah. No, I love...
Carbonara, no?
Yeah, but yeah. I love having fun with cooking. I kind of go along anything that I have. And when I say pasta dishes, like, there's layers to it, right? You can... It's not just tomato or carbonara. I usually try and make up my own meal, my own dish.
I need to put you... With my girlfriend in the kitchen.
A cooking contest.
With Magali and
I love a good steak as well.
Yeah.
Steak, it's a very easy dish to cook, but it's a hard dish to master. I think.
Oh, but you need to try Lebanese cuisine.
Yeah. No, I love Lebanese food. Yeah, we went to Kak.
Kak.
Right? Oh, amazing. I love Lebanese food.
It's your favorite spot. You order from Kak day in, day one.
Daily, yeah. Daily. Yeah. With a manakish.
Yeah. Every morning we get the manakish and then.
Yeah.
Nice, man.
I need to go to Lebanon. Yeah.
Are you
DJ in Lebanon.
Are you gonna go this Beirut. Year? Are you going to go this year?
Yes, 100%.
When?
August.
August, probably. Yeah. Probably. Yeah, are you going to attend the wedding?
Yeah, Lebanese wedding.
So, yeah.
Wedding, I'm going to crash a Lebanese wedding.
Yeah, that jokes aside, we are actually going to Lebanon in August.
No, we are.
And we're probably going to host a party for Toga.
Nice.
We'll give more details about it soon.
Nice.
It's related to something very dear to Toga. And I mean, tell us more about your plans and releases for this year.
Yeah, so as I said, this year I've told you it's not gonna be my big year, but it's my transitional year, if that makes sense. I always tell you this is 2023 is my transitional year. It's where I'm trying to be a lot more daring with my sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And different BPMs and with music production. So my goal this year is to stick to a certain type of sound that I'm comfortable with rather than kind of go around. You know what I mean. I mean, DJs, I'm sure DJs can relate.
Yeah.
You know, find your sound. And then I'd like to be more selective with my gigs and find some gigs and travel.
Yeah.
Those are my goals for 2023. Yeah. And then
any country you would love to travel to and you still
Yeah, so the city of Berlin, I'd love to go to Berlin. Yeah.
Other than Berlin,
Paris. I'm actually born in Paris, but I'm not French. Fun fact. Yeah. That's a fun fact.
Yeah, I know that.
But Paris. And then just kind of get my name out. I think that's important. Exposure, credibility. And build a strong name, you know.
I think you're on the right path, and we've had this conversation many times where I feel like there's always this dilemma of a DJ that's coming up, of whether I need to focus more on a DJ music producer, whether I need to focus more on the gigs or the music. And I always say the gigs will drain you if you want to build yourself as an artist and build a big name.
Yeah.
I believe the perfect formula is focus on producing your music, putting it out there. I know there's this whole, you need to be a full package, market your music. So put a plan for you to like, okay, let's say I'm going to release 5 releases this year. I'm going to put this marketing plan for that. And since you release independently as well, so you kind of have control over your releases and then you promote them very well. You get some press features, some interviews in, and then the gigs will come. Because people will start knowing more about you. You have a story to tell and the gigs will come. And always record your sets.
Yeah.
Promote your sets. And yeah, so I believe you're on the right track,
Thank
man. You're Thank focusing you. A lot on your music production. And I think more gigs will come. And I think sooner, like in a couple of years, we'll hear more about you.
And we'll do another podcast.
Of course.
With more stories.
Part 2, you know. Yeah. Nice, awesome.
Another story like Possession on a night, on a drunk night out.
Where would
releasing
that be,
a
Beirut?
Full album this time.
Imagine it's in Beirut.
Yeah, releasing a full album.
Yeah.
One click at 5 a.m.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Awesome, man. It was very nice.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Really.
It was a very nice podcast. Really cool stories. I enjoyed it.
Same.
So you have any last words for the listeners?
No last words. I'm currently finishing my an EP that's gonna be released this year. That's all I can say, and it's gonna be good.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've heard that EP.
Yeah,
and I have to say it's from when I met you last year and from how you grew. You've really worked on trying to find your sound and trying to craft that original.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
can we say Sonic ID?
Yes, Sonic.
Raphael. No, I'm cut this.
No, don't cut it.
No.
Okay. Don't cut it. Keep it.
Yeah. Rafael, if you're hearing this, shout out to you.
Yeah, so I've actually found my Sonic ID, and I'm quite proud of that. And I always kind of, I always relate my tracks with a movie. I watch a movie, and somehow, after watching a movie, or sometimes I just stop the movie, and bam, I stop making music. So, yeah, this EP is going to be good.
It's going to be good. I know that. I feel that, and I've heard that. Yeah. And thanks a lot, man. Where can people follow you?
So my Instagram, that's the best place you'll see my next gigs and everything. It's Pierre Locher Music on Instagram. Then you can look me up on SoundCloud.
You have your link tree on Instagram.
I have my link tree, so you have everything there.
Nice. And nice. Awesome, bro.
It was really a pleasure, man. Yeah, pleasure. Thanks a lot.
No worries. To everyone listening, if you want to know all the latest on Toka, go to www.tokamusic.com. And thanks a lot. Ciao.
Ciao. Thanks.
Nice.